Yesterday we learned the Gemara at the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, from the right before the very wide lines, the medium-sized line right before the very wide lines. The Gemara quotes Tana Rabbanan, a Braisa. Says the Braisa appears in Masechah Sofrim. Can't really say the source of the Braisa is Masechah Sofrim. Masechah Sofrim was put together by the Gaonim. It came after the days of the Gemara. So this Braisa that's quoted by the Gemara is also quoted in Masechah Sofrim. Magen Avraham points that in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, Masechah Sofrim was put together by the Gaon Eretz Yisrael. And whenever there's a machlokes between the Gaon Eretz Yisrael and the Gaon Bavel, so we usually follow the Chachmei Bavel. So there are a lot of things in the Masechah Sofrim that we don't follow. But this is a Braisa that they got from the Bavli. So this is we accept this also. So the Braisa says, "Kosam tefillin agabi or behemah tahara, v'agabi or chaya tahara, v'agabi or nevelus etreif shalohem, v'nichrochas b'sairon, v'nifaras b'gidon, v'halocha l'moshe misinai, shatfilin nichrochas b'sairon, v'nifaras b'gidon." So repetitious. It's a megumgum. No, it says it twice. Just said that. So something megumgum over here. What it says in effect is what it said in the Gemara. That's what we said over yesterday. The Gemara says there are two sources for this din. The Gemara says Aradap also had it. When Rav came to Bavel, and Shmuel sent Karna to test him, Tahi al Kakane, see if he knows how to learn. So the first question he asked him, how do you know you can only write Sevitor Tzvillin and Mezuzah on Arbe Madaris? So he said right away, he snapped right away, L'man Tiyatar Sashem Afichem and Amuta Beficho. So that's a pasuk. The Gemara says that we have a tradition, Gimiri Lehuch Shulam Lacha Shemaim al Arbe Madaris Belvad. That's on Chof Ches on the base, four lines from the top. So Gemara wants to know, why do you need Gemiri? Why do you need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai? That's what it says in this braisa. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai shatvil n'chrochas b'sairon v'nitfores b'gidon of a behemah tahara as opposed to a behemah t'meya. Why do you need a halacha l'moshe m'sinai if there is a method of darshaning it from the pasuk? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means the Rambam writes in the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnah, it's a different parts to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So he says we have things that are explicit in the Chumash, that's Torah Shebichsav. Then we have things that we read in between the lines, drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's a machloikis in Gittin and Daf Nuntes. There's a machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer, his Talmud, whether Rov HaTorah is Bichsav or Rov HaTorah is Baal Peh. How is that possible to assume? So the Sefer Be'er Sheva, the Prim Godim, has a Hakdom, a Psicha Kalelos Darachayim. So he starts off as Psicha Kalalas, but this Kashaf in the Be'er Sheva. How can the Gemara have a Machloikis in Gittin Daf Nun Tes, but the Rav Torah is Bechsav, Rav Torah is Bapeh? Go to the library. The Torah Shebechsav is only 24 Svarim, Chop Tal Kisra Kodesh. Torah Shebapeh is Aruka Me'eretz Mide Rechavim Mine Yam. Of course the Torah Shebapeh is bigger than the Torah Shebechsav. What you have to have a Machloikis Hamaroyim? So the Be'er Sheva says, he thinks the Machloikis Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer in Gittin is regarding this section of the Torah Shebaal Peh, this is the biggest part of the Torah. Consists of all of the drushes that the Chachamim made, reading things in between the lines. The text of the Torah Shebichsav, the whole Kisra Kodesh, the 24 Kisra Kodesh from beginning to the end, that's clearly less than 50%. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the Rambam writes in the Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnah is when he gives you the outline of all the different parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means a din that's only transmitted orally from generation to generation, and there's no method to darshan it. There's no way to read it in between the lines. There's no marker at all. So the Rambam says there aren't so many halachas l'moshe m'sinai. That tefillin have to be merubayim, have to be shchayres, the ritzuas have to be shchayres, and all the other halachas l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam gives you a brief listing. There isn't such a big list of halachas l'moshe m'sinai. And the majority of the Torah that we learn is the drushes that are derived through the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's the machlekes of Yechon Rabbi Lozer, where the Rov Torah is Bichsav, Rov Torah is Baal Peh. What status do we give to these drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh? Do we give them the status of Torah Shebichsav, or do we give them the status of Torah Shebaal Peh? What's the difference? It's a din deraisa anyway. So that's what the Prima Gadim discusses. He quotes the Be'er Sheva, gives you a difference. Be'er Sheva is a sefer on different mesichtes and tshuvas by a Talmud of the Lavush. So he gives you the Be'er Shevas on Horius, this piece that he quotes on the first daf in Horius. So he says it'll be an afkemina for the din of Par Halam Dovashal Tzibon. And then the Prit Megorim gives you another 10 nafkeminis ledina, whether the status of these drushes is Torah Shebechsav or Torah Shebalteh. So here the Gemara is asking that Rabbi Yosef makes a statement on Chof Ches and Beis, Lehuchshul Amalecha Shamayim Alar Behemekar Belvad, that this is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, what do you need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? If there's a way to darshan it from the Psukim, Mantia Teres Hashem Beficham and Amuta Beficho, so what do you need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? The Gemara has that another case, another Mesichtus also. What do you need Halacha L'Moshe Misinai for Tosefes Shviyas, if it can be learned that from the Psukim, the din of Tosefes Shviyas, and other Kashas like that. Machloik is by Nisach HaMayim, whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or it's a Pasuk, and Afkeminis Ledina. So the Gemara says over there also, whatever is a Pasuk, whatever there's a method to darshan, by reading in between the lines of the Psukim, so you don't have to have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara answers the Pasuk that says Menamuta Beficha, and it goes on Torah Hashem Beficha, if you have Divrei Torah written. So that goes on the cloth on which you have written the parshias of the Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, or the Gemara says it goes on the Bayi Shal Rosh, because it has the Shin, and the Shin Shal Tefillin is also Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Shin Shal Tefillin is also Torah. So Torah is included, even if it's only one letter of Torah, it's also included in the Pasuk. And the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is only needed for the Chorcha Misairun and the Torah from Begidom. So the Gemara says that's the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So that's what this Braisa says. The Braisa says Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Shal Tefillin the Chorcha Misairun of the kosher animal. When it's far as Begidom of a kosher animal, you have no Divrei Torah written on the Kricha. You have no Divrei Torah written on the Gidim. So that's only known through Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And this is a question in Rishonim and in Paskim, how far does this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai go? Does it only apply to Tashmisha Kiddusha? Or does it even apply to Tashmisha Mitzvah? Let's say, for example, a shofar, on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Ran that a shofar that comes from the horn of a behemoth tameya may not be used because of lehuchshel malach shamayim malor behemoth tar bovan. There are no divrei Torah written on the shofar, so it's not based on the pasuk lamantiyot teres Hashem meficha min amuta beficha, but it's based on the halacha l'moshe misinai of lehuchshel malach shamayim. So that's or the Rabbi Natam says that the sandal shel chalitza. Rabbi Natam says in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza towards the end of Yevamos, when you perform Chalitza, the sandal shel Chalitza has to be made from leather. It has to be or behemator. You can't use or behemotameo. The shoes that we wear are horse leather. So if you make a sandal shel Chalitza from horse leather, he says you're not yotzei the mitzvah, and it's not kosher to be mata the woman lashuk. It has to be dafka or behemator. So what he say? He doesn't mean to say that on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur and during Shiva, the prohibition of wearing nilas sandal only applies if it's from a kosher animal. And the regular shoes that are made from horse leather, you're allowed to wear on Tisha B'Av and you're allowed to wear on Yom Kippur and during Shiva Rachman al Islam. Certainly not. The Rabbi Natam only meant it. Even though the Gemara says that the dinim are the same, whatever is considered a shoe for chalitza is considered a shoe for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur and Avelos. It's the same din, but it's the same din, Benegir, whether you need leather or not. That's a machlokes atanoim. Do you require leather? What about sneakers? Or what about the other cloth shoes? But Benegir to insisting there has to be or Bei Meturah. So that the Rabbi Natam doesn't explain it, but that's how the Orach HaShulchan and others explain the Rabbi Natam. He only means to apply this with respect to Chalitza, because Chalitza is a mitzvah. So the sound of Chalitza is considered Melech HaShamayim. Even though the sandal shel chalitza is not tashmishi kedusha, just like the Ran says benegir to shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, it's not tashmishi kedusha, it's tashmishi mitzvah. So the Rabbi Natam and the Ran obviously think that this halacha l'moshe misinai l'huchshul l'malach shamayim alar beim atorah belvad covers even tashmishi mitzvah. And others question whether this is really correct. Others think that perhaps there's a tshuva in the Torah's Chesed by the Lublina Rav He used to be the Rav on the Blin. Then when he retired, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he joined the Eidach Haredes. He joined the Bezna of the Eidach Haredes. That was the style years ago. When the Rabbanim retired from positions in Europe, they all went to Yerushalayim. So they had many great Moira Harav, many great Rabbanim there. So he has his... And there's two halokim, Shadash Shubas, Taras Chesed, Chelek Arachaim, Chelek Eben Ezer. So in Chelek Arachaim, he has a whole bunch of Shabbos Agadol Drashas and Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim. So this was a pilpul for Shabbos Shuvah. He spoke about this rod, that you can't use the shofar from a behemoth to mayor. So he develops the notion that this is a machlokes of Rishonim, how far this goes. So this is the braisa that says on our adapting more quotes on a chavchet. This is the braisa that says, that this prat is really halachal Moshe Messina. The chroches b'sairon b'nitfores b'gidon is not based on the pasuk. L'huchshu, not based on the pasuk of Torah Hashem b'ficha, because the Rana Dibre Torah written on the Seyor, nor on the Gidon. That's halachal Moshe Messina, l'huchshu l'malach Hashem.
What about the Yudin
and the So that Taisus has a kasha against Rashi. The Gemara says that Kesha shel Tfilin halacha l'Moshe Messina. So Rashi understands in that Gemara Kesha shel Tfilin two things: that there should be a Kesha shel Yad and a Kesha shel Rosh, and number two, that the Kesha shel Yad should be a Yud, and the Kesha shel Rosh should be a Dalet. So Taisus in Brachis, in the first parak in Brachis, asks on Rashi if that's correct, that's part of the halacha l'Moshe Messina, that this has to be Yud, this has to be a Dalet. So why does the Gemara say on Chof Ches on the base and Bamei Mavlikin? That the Halacha L'Moshe Messinai that you have to have Or Behemot Tehoira goes on the Ritzuas, just like you don't need a Halacha L'Moshe Messinai for the Bayish Al Rosh because you need a Shin, so you shouldn't need the Halacha L'Moshe Messinai for the Ritzuas either, because the Ritzuas, just like one letter counts as Tehoira, the one letter of Shin, so the one letter Dalet and one letter Yud, especially Rashi says on the Pasuk in Brachas Dabov, Ro Kalami Horsky Shem Hashem Nikra Alach V'Yor Mimeka Eilat Tfilin Shabarosh. So Rashi says, what does Tfilin Shabarosh have to do with Shem Hashem Nikra Alach? So Rashi says, because if you put together the Shin of the Shal Rosh and the Dalet of the Shal Rosh and the Yud of the Shal Yad, you have the Shem Hashem, Shin Dalet Yud, and the Rov of the Shem Hashem, the Shin and the Dalet, two-thirds of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the head. So that's what the Gemara says, Baro Kalami Horetz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecho. When the Ummah Sa'olam will see that we have Shem Hashem in the Tefillah of Yoram Yimeko. So if the Gemara says on Chav Chesem and Beis that the Shin has the status of Torah, and Rashi says the Shin with the Dalet with the Yud, everything all goes together. It's all part of the same Shem. So why does the Gemara say you don't need a Halach L'Moshe Messina for the Or of the Bayish Al Rosh, but you do need a Halach L'Moshe Messina for the Ritzuas? What do you need for the Ritzuas? The Ritzuas is the same Oisias as the Shin, as the Bayish Al Rosh. So Taisus insists that Kesher Shal Tfilin HaHalach L'Moshe Messina just requires that there should be a Kesher. That the Kesher Shal Yad looks like a Yud and the Kesher Shal Rosh is a Dalet, that's only Midi Rabbanu. That's not part of the HaHalach L'Moshe Messina. But you look in the Rambam sounds like he says the same as Rashi. So you have this problem that Taisus asks on Rashi. Why did the Gemara Chof Ches require HaHalach L'Moshe Messina for the Ritzuas? Why isn't it covered with Torah Hashem Beficha? So that's 100 years ago when boys became bar mitzvah, they used to say over a pshetel from the Shagas Aryeh and Hilchas Tefillin. And in recent years they say over a pshetel from the Brisker Rav and Hilchas Tefillin. So a lot of them say over the Yenser, the Brisker Rav and this Taisus Kasha and Rashi. Why do you need a Halacha L'Moshe Messina for the Ritzuas? Why isn't that covered with Torah Hashem Beficha? So they say, Rav Elbala has part of this basically in the Sefer, that there's a difference between the Shin and the Dalet and the Yud. The Shin is really a nice Shin. And the Dalet and the Yud is a Kesha B'tzuras Dalet. And it's a Kesha B'tzuras Yud. It's not really a Dalet and it's not really a Yud. It's a Kesha that looks like a Dalet and a Kesha that looks like it. So since it's not a nice, so it's not covered with the Din of Taras Hashem. The Shin is a real Ois, and the Dalet and the Yud is not. Okay? That's how the Rambam writes. It should be a Kesher B'tzuras Dalet. Kesher B'tzuras Yud. See? According to Rashi and the Rambam, it probably is Miyakev. Yeah, according to Taisvis, it's only Midirabbanon. So it could be it's not Miyakev. According to Taisvis, it could be that it's also Miyakev. I don't know. It could be it's not. But according to Rashi and the Rambam, that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, the Pashta says that it is miyakim. In fact, the Orzarua writes the Feirish. Not only is the Tzuras HaDalet miyakim, he says the Dalet has to be made the way he describes tying the knot. He says if you tie the knot in a different way, even if you end up with the same result, that it looks like a Dalet, he says it's puzzle. That's a Chiddush on top of the Chiddush. That not only is the Tzuras Dalet miyakim, the tying it in the way he describes it is miyakim. Most people today do not tie it the way the Orzarua describes. So that we learned, that was the premise of the whole Amud. We learned that first, that you have to write the Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on Or Behemah Tahor as opposed to Or Behemah Tameya. That's a pasuk. And that Nechroches Besaron Benitfaros Begidon of a Behemah Tahora, that's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. That's not based on the pasuk Teres Hashem. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So the Gemara earlier has a discussion, is it permissible to write Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on chicken skin? The halacha says that it has to be Or Behema Tahoira Bilvad. What if it's Chaya? Chaya is also good. It doesn't have to be Dafke Behema. So Behema and Chaya is good. Why shouldn't Of be good? So the Gemara says Luchara Of should be good. The only question is, it has to be written on Or. Has to be written on Or. Is the skin of chicken skin is edible? The hide of a cow is not edible. You don't eat the skin. So we understand that Ora Choluk Mipsoro, the Ora of a Behemah, is not Dina Kibos. Ora is Choluk Mipsoro. But the shot is, what about by chicken? Since the chicken skin is the same softness as the flesh of the chicken, so maybe it's not considered Ora. So the Gemara says, not true. You see from the Mishnah that one who makes a Chabura of the Behemah, Bechayu Biyov, that's how the Mishnah says, Chay Biyov Shebeshusoy, Achayvo Behem Chayiv. What do you mean a chayil behem? If you make a chabura and the black and blue mark represents the fact that dam was nitzra hadam in between the or and the basar. So you see from the Mishnah that it's or. No, you see from the Mishnah that it's or. Not really. You see from the Mishnah that you can cause some of the dam to be dead. Ki adam wa nefesh is when it's circulating in the circulatory system. So you can cause a chabura that some of the dam can be caught. That's a biological statement, the Mishnah says. It doesn't necessarily mean that api aloche, the or of the it doesn't necessarily indicate, doesn't necessarily prove that the or of the oaf is choluk mipsor. So the Gemara says, well, let's look in another area. There is a din when you bring a korban oil, you burn everything on the mizbech. You bring other korbanos, you bring a shlamim, you bring a chatos, an osham. You don't burn everything, you just burn the emurim. You zerk the dam, you burn the emurim. And somebody eats the basar, if it's a shlomim or a todos, so the bailim eat it. And if it's a chatos or an oshim, then the kohanim eat it. But if it's an olah, then you burn everything. You really burn everything? No. The pasuk says you need hefshit b'nituach b'chol olishim. Hefshit means that you have to separate the hide, the or, from the basar. And the or is given to the kohanim, nanshe mishmor. And then the basar, you have nituach, you have to cut it up. It's the specific pieces. Not allowed to stop and slice it up. You can't just cut it up the way you please. You have to cut it up in specific pieces as described in the Mishnayos and Tomid. And then you have to do kololishim. You burn everything on the Mizbech. So the Shad is when you bring an Ola Saif. When you bring an Ola Saif and you also burn everything on the Mizbeach, do you have to have Hefshit? Do you remove the or not? So the Gemara says it should depend on this. This is the Shaila. Now we got the Shaila. Forget about the biology in the Mishnah. Biology, that's for the afternoon. That's a different discussion. That or a cholak mepsari can have nitzra adam, that's biology. But the Shaila is over here, the halacha over here. Whether the or of a chicken, you can't bring a chicken as a carbon oil as oif. Have to only bring, you can't bring any oif tohar. Has to be dafke. Either Torah or Bnei Yonah, you can't bring any others. But so leave out, scratch out the chicken. You can't bring a turkey either. Only Torah or Bnei Yonah. Fine. So the shot is when you bring Torah or Bnei Yonah, and you have to burn everything on the Mizbech by an oil of Saif, do you do Hefshit first or do you not do Hefshit? So the Beferi said, you don't do Hefshit. So the Gemara says, isn't that a raya that Ora is not Cholok Mipsara? If it's really Ora Cholok Mipsara, then you should have the mitzvah of Hefshit? Then you should require Hefshit? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's not necessarily a raya. There's a pasuk that says that you don't do hefshit. The pasuk says, the Braisa quotes a drasha, bichnafav l'hafshir sa'or. The pasuk tells you that Oilas Saif is different from Oilas Behema, that you don't do Hefshit, that you burn it all. So maybe it means this. So it's a little unclear what the pasuk means to say. It doesn't mean to say because Oro is not Cholot Mepsor, because it's Roel Achila. So the Or is, doesn't have the status of Or. So Meili cannot write Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah on chicken skin. Or should I say no? The pasuk tells me, despite the fact that it is Or, and I should have learned that in Mamatzinu, that just like Oilas Behema requires Hefshit, so to Oilas Ov should require Hefshit. So that's what the pasuk tells me, that that I shouldn't be done. That it's not so, despite the fact that it is arachalak mipsur. So the Gemara raises the issue. Then the Gemara says no, but the maskana is that's the halacha, that arachalak mipsuro, not just for biological purposes, that you can make a black and blue mark and it'll be nitzra adam, and you bechay mishum choyvel. Even for halachic purposes, we do consider the or of the of tohor as dina ka'or, and therefore you are able to write. Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. The only question is, came the Isvei Nikvei Nikvei? I would have thought no. That's a question. You cannot write on a piece of parchment that has holes in it. Let's say you write a letter and you're going to have a big crack in the middle of the letter, so it doesn't have the proper tzuras ois, if it has holes all over the place. So the birds all have feathers on the outside. And the feathers, when you remove the feathers, so there's going to be a hole in the skin. So if you have holes all over the place, so it's going to be mafzik all the tzuras oisiyah. So that's not kosher. So the Gemara says, the chiddush, that despite the fact that isvei nikvei nikvei, even though it has holes, it doesn't bother me. Even though if you pick it up to the sun, you can see the sun shining through the hole, it's not a problem, because the hole per se doesn't passel. The hole only passels if it's going to be nipsak in the ice, if the ice is going to be cracked. And over here, it's a nekev shahadiyo verisolo. The letter will not be cracked. True, if you pick it up to the sun, you'll see that there's a hole. The sun will shine through it. But if you put it down on the table and you read Kriya Satara, or you look at the tefillin of the mezuzah, so it won't be noticeable. The ois will have a tzuras ois, so that's okay. Kol nekev shadyo verasola veinu nekev. In Shulchan Aruch, there's another issue that they discuss in Hilchas Tefillin and Siman Lamed Beis regarding a nekev. In the ois, not only the main problem, the major problem is, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a nekev that's mopsik the ois, it doesn't retain a tzuras ois. If it doesn't have a tzuras ois, it's puzzle. We were discussing in the previous perik about the different tzuras ois. Where was that? By the Malach of Kosei. The end of here in Perek Habone, Kubeis and Kugim. So the Rishonim discussed there the different tzuras osias, what a ches is supposed to look like, what the different osias are supposed to look like. So that's one major problem, that if you have a nekev that's mafsik in the middle of the letter, so it won't retain the tzuras osias. Then the Shulchan Aruch has another problem that's based on a Gemara in Menachos, that when you write the tefillin, the Gemara only has it on tefillin. In Yerideya, we assume that it applies also to Sefer Torah. Not all the Rishonim agreed that there is a din that every ois has to be mukav gvil. All of the each ois has to be surrounded with cloth on the outside. So even if you write, have a piece of parchment that has a hole in it, and I'm going to write the letter in such a way that the neked is not mafsik in the middle of the letter. It's not mavatla the tzuras ois, but the ois was written right next to a hole, so that point of the ois is not mukaf with gvil. It's not surrounded with parchment. So the Gemara seems to say in Menachos that that too is possible. Then in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes. What if originally when I wrote the Sefer Torah, we assume that the psula mukaf gvil is not restricted only to tefillin and mezuzah, it applies also to Sefer Torah. So the Mordechai quotes from Shanim would disagree that it's only a din in tefillin and mezuzah, or it's a din in Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah. Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah has the same chumris as tefillin and mezuzah. That's why there's an opinion in Achrayim, if you put two and two together, if you take this Mordechai, that Ksivas Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Sefer Torah have the same chumris as Ksivas tefillin and mezuzah. So tefillin and mezuzah, there's a mechilta that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have Ksiva Kesidron. You have to write everything in order. In the Sefer Torah, there is no such requirement. You don't need Ksiva Kesidron. You can write Bereishis after you write Dvorim. Or if you find a mistake in the Sefer, you can correct it. You don't say you have to erase everything from that point to the end and then rewrite everything in order. And tefillin and mezuzah, that's the din. If you find a mistake, you can't just correct the mistake, because it'll turn out that it's ksiva shalei kesidron. He wrote an earlier letter prior to the later letter. So the din of ksiva kesidron is quoted in Shulchan Aruch only when it gets to tefillin and mezuzah, doesn't apply to Sefer Torah. So there is an opinion in Achrayim that ksiva kesidron is required for the Shemas Hashem, Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah. But put together the Mordechai with this din. The Mordechai says that Shemas in the Sefer Torah have a requirement of Mukav Gvil. The rest of the Sefer Torah doesn't need Mukav Gvil, only the Shem Hashem. Because the Chumris that apply to Ksivas Tefillin and Mezuzah only carry over to Ksiva Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah. So if you apply that Benegiah to Mukav Gvil, so it should also apply Benegiah to Ksiva Kesidron. That's a Chumr, that's what the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Mishnas Chachamim. Mishnas Chachamim is a chibur on the Rambam, a running commentary on the Rambam. So that's a question whether that's accepted or not. There is a Gemara in a Mishnah in Yuma that says, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, Rishem Rishoyim Yirkav. When you mention a Tzadik, you should give him a blessing. And when you mention a Rasha, you should curse him. Rishem Rishoyim Yirkav. Rekev probably means Yikov, to be cursed. The Resh is probably an expiration. So the Mishnah comments about certain people who had tremendous talents. They knew how to mix the Ketores, and they didn't want to tell the secret to anybody else, that anyone else should know how to mix the Ketores, that it should have such a fragrant aroma. So the Mishnah says that was not right on their part. And then the Mishnah mentions other people, the Gemara mentions other people who knew things, how to do Avodas Hashem in a very fancy, elegant fashion, and they didn't want to teach their secrets to anybody else. So one of the people who's mentioned, Lignai, the Elu Lignai, the Mishnah has Elu L'Shvach, the following people should be praised for the Gutam Eisen Tevim that they did. The Elu Lignai, the following people should be cursed, or should be mentioned, dishonorable mention, because they didn't share their knowledge with others. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says there was a Sefer who knew how to write with four pens in his hand at the same time and didn't teach anybody else the secret, so he's mentioned Lignai. So the Mefarshim asked, what's the big deal? A trick, he knows how to stand on his head for 3 hours without dying. So he knows how to swim under the water, under the surface of the water. He knows how to hold his breath for an hour. So he didn't teach anyone. So what does it have to do with Avodas Hashem? The Pashup Shat and the Mishnah and the Gemara there, they lulignai, he knew how to do something that enhanced Avodas Hashem, and he didn't share the knowledge with others. How does this enhance Avodas Hashem? He knows how to hold four pens bevasachas. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes one of the Mefarshim, I think the Tosfos Yontov quotes this on the Mishnayos. He quotes one of the Mefarshim that the four pens he held in his five fingers, the four pens held like this, he would write Yudke Vavke bevasachas. Why does that enhance the chshivas of the Shem Hashem? Because if you write the way we do, Yud, and then you write the K, so you have a Shem Hashem, Yud K. So then when you write the Vav, in a certain sense that's Mechikas Hashem, because you already have a Shem Hashem, Yud K. When you write a Vav, it's nothing. Then when you write the final letter, the final K, so then you elevated it to a higher level. Okay, so strictly speaking, it's not really Mechikas Hashem. You didn't erase what you had before, but you destroyed it. Originally it was a Shem Hashem of Yud Kei. When you write the Vav, you're ruining the Shem Hashem by adding another letter. So that was the kunst that this Sefer knew how to do, Bar Kamtzer, or whatever his name was. He knew how to hold the four pens, Bevasachas, and write Yud Kei Vavki Bevasachas, so there was no violation of Mechikas Hashem, even for a second. There wasn't any chash of destroying the Shem Hashem. So the Minhas Chinuch raises an objection. According to the Mishnah's Chachamim Schiddish, that you have to write the Shem Hashem Kesidron, because all the Chumras of Ksivas, Tefillin and Mezuzah, carry over to the Ksivas Shemus and the Sefer Torah. That's what the Mordechai said. Mordechai said, when you get the Muk of Gvil, because he holds in the rest of the Sefer Torah, you don't need Muk of Gvil. You only need in Shemus, because they have the status, they have the dinim like Ksivas, Tefillin and Mezuzah. So if you hold that Shem Hashem needs Kesidron, how is this Kesidron? He wrote all the four letters Bevasachas. Shouldn't Kesidron require you have to write first the Yud and then the K and then the Vav and then the K? If you succeed in writing all Bevasachas, that should be a violation of Kesidron. So he goes into a pilpul. Is that true or is that not true? What if you have a printing press and you print tefillin and mezuzahs, lishma. I take a press and I push it down, and all the letters come out exactly bevasachas. Is that a violation of kisidron? Tefillin and mezuzah have to be kisidron. Doesn't mean that if you write shalok kisidron is possible, but if all the letters are printed bevasachas, it's okay. Or should I say no? Kisidron requires literally kisidron. So that's the pilpul that he has. Anyway, it's on Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya. When you look this up in Reish Pei Aleph and Reish Ayin Aleph in Yerideya, so they write that a nekev in the klav poses two problems. Problem number one, the main problem is if it's going to be a nekev where the ois is, so then the ois is going to lack a tzuras ois. So that's solved by this din kidyami b'marav, as they said in Eretz Yisrael. If it's not, even though it's noticeable when you pick it up to the sunlight, but if you write letters on it and you look at it, it looks like it has a tzura size, then it's not a problem. But then in Shulchan Aruch they have there's a secondary problem, not as chomer as the first problem, that it lacks a tzura size, but it's still a problem at Pasul, that you need that every yoy should be mukav gvil. So there are different discussions there. There's one discussion: does mukav gvil only apply b'shas k'sivim? I wrote an ois right next to a nekev. So at the time, b'shas haksiva was lacking mukavvil. What if I wrote the ois as I wrote the sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah? Everything was be'echsha. And later on, Amashugana comes and he burns a hole. He makes a hole in the klaf, so it comes out that a bar of the ois, part of the ois, is not mukavvil. But b'shas haksiva was mukavvil. It lacks the mukavvil. Something occurred after the ksiva. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. That's a machlokes in Rishon. Then there's a further machlokes regarding mukavvil. Does it only apply on the outside of the letters? Does it even apply on the inside of the letter? Let's say you have a letter ches or a letter hey, and there's somebody punctured a hole in the middle. Or let's say I write a hey or a ches around the hole. There's a loch. So the letter is mukav. Mukavvil. Mukav means like a surrounding with gvil. So it is surrounded with gvil. But the bottom leg of the hay of the ches is not surrounded on the inside, and the other part of the hay of the ches and the inside is not surrounded with gvil. Is the kpeda of mukav gvil only on the outside of the oisis or even in the inside? So that's a further machlokes in Shulchan Aruch with a Yerushalmi, with a discussion in Rishon. Okay, those are details. So that's what the Gemara says regarding the oath. That we pass in la'alocha that one may use chicken skin to write. You'll have to treat it. If you use chicken skin, it's so soft, it's not shy there. You're going to have to treat it with chemicals to make it into parchment. So then, even though it's full of holes, those holes are so small, that's hadyo of erasolav, and that doesn't pose a problem. Then the Gemara raised the question, what about regarding the skin of a fish? You can't use vegetables, you can't use other things. You have to use dafke something, you have to use dafke or. How do you know you have to use dafke or? Who says? So that's what the Netziv discusses in his. It just says it has to be menamuta beficha, from a kosher thing. So what's wrong if you use paper? Paper is kosher. The answer is no. The answer is, he says, it has to be dafke or. The Gemara had a discussion whether or ha'of is dina ka'or, is not dina ka'or. Whether or hadag is dina ka'or, is not dina ka'or. Where did they get? How did they start off this whole pilpul in the first place? The pasuk just says it shouldn't be from a non-kosher animal. So as long as it's not from a non-kosher animal, it's not good. So what's the problem? Who says it has to have a chalashem or on it? So that's what the Netziv says. No, we have another halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that tefillin and mezuzah and sefer Torah have to be written on or. Some of them have to be written on klaf. Some have to be written on duchsustis. Some of them have to be written on gevil. If you take the whole parchment and you don't split it in half, I think that's called gvil. And then if you split it in half, so there's the half that's closer to the flesh, the half that's closer to the hair. So one of those halves is called duchsustis, one of those halves is called klaf. So there's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that tefillin and mezuzah and sefer Torah have to be written on or. And which one is written on gvil, and which one is written on klaf, and which is written on duchsus. So that's the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, has to be on or. That's the premise of the whole sugya here. That there was a pilpul whether or ha'of is dina ka'or, or it's not dina ka'or, and whether or ha'dag is dina ka'or. So that's given. That's an assumption. That's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that it has to be or. And then the pasuk tells us it has to be an or, from a behemoth Torah. It can't be from a behemoth Tmeo. So the Gemara had the discussion. The next discussion is, what's the status of Or Hadag? Or Hadag also. A lot of times you eat fish with the skin. Like chicken. You can eat the chicken with the skin. The skin is edible. So maybe I should say that the Or Hadag is not Dina Kaor. So the Gemara says it's not true. Because we have a Mishnah Kalim that calls it Or. The Gemara says, first of all, Hochazina de Islayor. We feel it and we can tell that the fish does have a skin. Yeah, that's biologically it has a skin. Maybe the halacha doesn't recognize it as a skin. Then the Gemara says, no, avod. We have a Mishnah, Hatanan. We have a Mishnah in Kalim that refers to the skin of the dog as Oro. So the Mishnah calls it Or. So that's not under debate. The Or Hadag Tohor has to be a Dag Torah. Dag Tomei is no good. For Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. So that's not under debate that the Or Hadag is Dina Kaor. The suffix the Gemara has is, if it's very mezuham, then it's not proper to use it for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. The Gemara says, we're not sure. We're not sure whether it retains the zuham or doesn't retain the zuham. So suffix the Raisa Luchum, so we don't use it. What is the Mishnah Kalim that the Gemara quoted? So that's a very important din that's relevant. There is a pasuk in Chumash and Parshas Chukas by the Por Aduma Parsha that says that a mace is metame ba'ohel. So kol asher ba'ohel yitmo. Odom, the Kalim, Ochlum, and Mashkim, whatever is in the ohel becomes tame. The mace is an aviyavois atuma. So whoever comes in contact with a mace becomes an avatuma. So the person who's there becomes an avatuma. If I attend a funeral and I become an avatuma and then I touch you, so you become a rishon l'tuma. I became an avatuma directly from the mace. I need hazor shlishi shvi from the poraduma water. When I touch you afterwards, you become a rishon l'tuma. You're not tummy for 7 days. You don't need hazor shlishi shvi. Just go to mikveh the same day and you have harishemish and finish, and you become tohar. The kelim is the same thing. The kelim that are in the oil amaze, they become an avatume and they need hazor shlishi shvi. And ochlum amashkim that are in the oil amaze, they cannot become an avatume because the Gemara has a klal. The last daf in Erevin kol shein lo tarib mikveh and nasa avatume. From the four things that are makabel tume, odem kelim ochlum amashkim. So only odem kelim can become an avatume. Because if they become nitma, you can be tovel them in a mikveh. Klicheres, if it becomes nitma, you cannot be tovel in a mikveh. So klicheres also can never become an avatuma. Even if the klicheres, if you have china dishes on the oil amaze and the mace is avi avais, the klicheres will only become a rishon l'tuma. The metal kelim will become an avatuma. The wooden kelim will become an avatuma. The klicheres will only become a rishon l'tuma, like the ochlum amashkim, because the ochlum amashkim ain't lo tarim mikveh, ain't nasa avatuma. So there is a pasuk that says, what if you have ochlum or mashkim in a kli cheres, which is mukav tzomit pasil, which is sealed, tightly sealed. So then, not only is the kli cheres not mekabel tumah, the ochlum or mashkim inside are also not mekabel tumah. Why is the kli cheres not mekabel tumah? Because that's the pasuk that teaches us that kli cheres is not mekabel tumah mitocho, it's not mekabel tumah migabo. So if I have an open klicheres in the oil amaze, so it's mekabel tuma mitocho, so the whole klicheres becomes tuma. But if it's mukav tumit pasil, it's closed with a lid and it's screwed on tightly. Mukav tumit pasil means screwed on tightly. So then the klicheres is not mekabel tuma, because it can't be mekabel tuma from the outside. And whatever is inside of it is also nitzal. A klicheres mukav tumit pasil is matzil on whatever is inside of it. So what if you have a person inside them, klicheres mukav tzomit pasul, the same thing. If you have kelim inside a mukav, you have metal kelim, or you have an odom also, it's not only matzul kol hashe betocho, not only matzul an ochlam amashkim, you have odom kelim inside a klicheres, it has to be a pretty big klicheres. If you have a big fat person, it has to be able to fit inside the klicheres. But if you have a klicheres, which is mukav tzomit pasul, and you have a person, a kelim inside, so it's matzilim bi'oil ameis. So the Mishnah says in kelim that it's not only true regarding a klicheres which is mukav tzomit pasul. See, that's a stunt, that's a chiddush that the Torah has. A klicheres is mekabel tuma, but it's only mekabel tuma mi tocho, not mekabel tuma mi gabo. It says kol asher yipol al tocho yitmo. It's only mekabel tuma mi tocho, not mi gabo. So if it's mukav tzomit pasul, so the tuma can't creep in. So the tuma can't creep in. So the klicheres is a trick It's not mekabel tumah. What if you have a kli that's just not mekabel tumah? Period. You have kli glolim, kli adoma, kli avonim. And the Mishnah says they're just not mekabel tumah. The pasuk in Chumash tells you which kelim. Wooden kelim, metal kelim are mekabel tumah. Glass kelim in Atara not mekabel tumah. That's in the first parak in Shabbos in the sugya of the Yud Ches Dova. And they made a gzer, Shimon and Shetach made a gzer the Rabbanim, that glass kelim are mekabel tumah mid the Rabbanim. But on the level of the rice of glass kelim are not mekabel tumah at all. The same as kli adoma and clay glolim and clay avonim are not mekabel tumah. Clay adoma means earthenware kelim, which I didn't bake out in the oven. Once you bake it in the oven, then it's called, then it's elevated to the level of clay cheres. That it is mekabel tumah mitocho, not migabo. Or let's say you have kelim made of synthetic material, like bisman hazeh, you have nylon sacks or something like that. So whatever doesn't say a chumash, if it doesn't belong into that category, the chacham never made a din derabbanon. So just not mekabel tumah. Here the Mishnah has a din, atmos hadag ve'oro. If you made a kli from fish bones, doesn't make a difference whether kosher fish, non-kosher fish, doesn't make a difference. Atmos hadag ve'or hadag. If you make a kli from or hadag, from fish skin. So the halacha says there's no pasuk that says that it's mekabel tumah. So the halacha says it's not mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah. So if you have a kli, if you have a kli made from atmas hadag ve'oro, and it'll be mukab tzomit pasa, it'll be sealed, so whatever is inside of it will not be makabel tumah. That's included in, all included in the pasuk of mukab tzomit pasa, is not makabel tumah. So one of the rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael made a picture book on Mishnayis kelim. He has diagrams of what all the kelim look like. So he got a haskama from Zalman Nechemya Goldberg on the pictures. That they represent accurately what the Mishnah is talking about. So Zam Nechemi in the Haskamah adds on a note that has nothing to do with the book. He writes regarding the issue of Kohanim going in airplanes, that the Shaila is that the airplane goes over cemeteries, and that they may have mason in the airplane. So before the airplane takes off, so there's no problem. So the mason is in the cargo section below, and the Kohen is sitting above. So that's Chaitzis Bifnei Atum. Why not? But the shahad is when the plane starts to taxi, starts to move on the ground, so that's the din that an oil zaruk, an oil that's moving, is not chaytzitz b'shnei atumah. It's maybe a satumah, but it's not chaytzitz b'shnei atumah. So the roof on top of the airplane, even though it's moving, it's rolling on the wheels, it's taxiing, so the roof on top has a din of a oil, a obvious satumah, but the floor that's mafzik in between the koyin and the passenger section, and the mace in the cargo section is not chaytzitz b'fnei atumah when the plane is moving. So then you have a problem. So the kohen is sitting the oil amace. The mace is downstairs. You have a problem. So there are some who hold that that's not called an oil zorah because the upstairs and the downstairs are not moving away from each other. It's like you take an apartment building and there's a mace on one floor and there's a kohen on a different floor. So it's chaytzitz b'fnei atumah. It's a different room. So if you take the whole building and you move it, so some hold, some Rishonim hold, that's it's like a Tosis earlier, there's a Me'iri earlier. If our emphasis Tosis Kash against Rashi by suggesting like that, that's on Daf Kuf Aleph. Hey, we should have learned that. On Kuf Aleph on the base. Maybe we'll, it's not on our syllabus, but maybe we'll have to learn. There's a bottom Tosis there, has a slew of Kashas against Rashi. So the Miri answers the kashas by pointing this out. He says the only time it has the status of an oil zorik is if a kohen is in an airplane that's flying over a cemetery. But if the kohen has a, you have a mace in the cargo section, the kohen is upstairs and the mace is on the bottom, and the whole airplane is moving, so the first floor and the second floor are not moving away from each other. Everything stays in relationship to each other in the same fashion. So the Miri holds that that's not called an oil zorik. The Tosis who asked the kasha against Rashi obviously thinks that it is called an oil zar. Okay, so the so that's the problem. How can a kohen go in an airplane if you have a mace in the cargo section, or if you know that the airplane is going over a cemetery? That's for sure a problem. If the airplane is going over a cemetery, so that's taka called an oil zar. The plane with respect to the cemetery is moving, so that's an oil zar. Even though the one floor with the other floor of the plane are not moving away from each other, so the Miri holds that that doesn't pose a problem of oil zorik. That is chaytzis b'fnei atumah. But if the whole plane is going over the cemetery, that is called an oil zorik. The tohar vis-a-vis the tameh is in a moving vehicle, so that's going to be an oil zorik. So it's going to be a problem. So Rav Zalman Nechemya in his Haskama to this picture book on Mishnayos Kelim makes this suggestion. If you'll take some kind of a sack that's made from synthetic material, so synthetic material is not Mekabel Tumim and Atar is not Mekabel Tumim and Rabbanah, whatever is not listed in the Chumash, Kli Yetz is mentioned and Kli Cheres is mentioned, Kli Mateches is mentioned, even Kli Mateches not from the six Sheish Mini Matches that I mentioned in the Chumash, that's also a Shaila. It's also a Machlekes Acharanim where there are other metals other than the six mentioned in the Chumash are Mekabel Tumim. That the Pharisee Yisrael thinks that they are Mekabel Tumim in disagreement with the Vilna Goyen. The Goyen says only the six that I mentioned in the Chumash. And it's very so thought that it's not so. He quotes the Gro and he thinks that it ought to be all Matechas. But whatever doesn't appear in the Chumash, like synthetic material, for sure is not a Kabbatim. So that's a Zam Nechemi Zainfall. If you have a big sack, large enough for a big fat person to fit into, so and it's made from synthetic material, you can have holes in the sack also, so there's no problem of breathing, it's not going to choke to death. So let the Koyin go into a sack. Let the Kohen tie it up. Let the Kohen himself. He doesn't have to rely on someone else's good graces. Let him tie it up from the inside. So he'll tie up the top of the sack. So it'll be a mukav tzomit puzzle. So even when the plane is standing still, there's no problem. Then when this thing starts to move, and the floor is not choytis b'fnei atuma, the floor is an oil zarek, but the sack is a mukav tzomit puzzle. So that's not a problem. And that's this Mishnah in Kalim. It says, atzmas hadag v'orim atzilim yoyel ameis, whatever is inside the kli that's mukav tzomit puzzle, whether it's ochlam or mashkim, that's the original puzzle in Chumash, probably goes on ochlam or mashkim, or could be odem or kelim, whatever is inside. One of the rabbanim did it, so the passengers on the plane got so petrified they thought it was committing suicide. A koyin, he went inside the sack and he tied it up on top when the plane was about to go off, so they got so scared. No? So it's not such a good idea. Anyway, but it's important to know. That's the Mishnah in Kelim. That's the Mishnah that it's based on. That the dinner, mukav tzomit puzzle, is negetas. So Shaila, is it really negetas? Is it really true? What's taka da halacha that a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace? A kol nafshes mace lo yovoy. Unless it's the zayin krovim. Is it a din that he's not allowed to become tomei tumas mace? Unless it's one of the zayin krovim. So over here, if he's mukav tzomit puzzle, so the halacha says he does not become tamei tumas meis. Maybe the halacha says he's not allowed to come in contact with a meis, even in a fashion that he doesn't become tamei. Maybe it's halacha, maybe it's not really a din of tumah, maybe it's a din of his karvus lameis. So that's what Rab Chaim Oizer and Rab Ochana Vasserman, who were married to two sisters, they were brothers-in-law, they married the two daughters of the Shabal Arav. Shabal was a little village in Lithuania. So the Rav in Shabal was Rav Meir Atlas. He was a big Talmid Chacham. So they both married the daughters of the rabbi in Shabal. So they both, independently of each other, they both write the same Chiddush. That the Shachin Yoredeya quotes from the Rekeach that if a girl is married to a Kohen and she's pregnant with a baby and she doesn't know whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, is she permitted to attend the funeral? So the Rekeach says it's permissible. Eishes Kai Muberes is permitted to attend the funeral. But it may be that it's a baby boy and she's metame the baby. You're not allowed to lahazik dela malaktanim. A person who's after bar mitzvah is not permitted to take a child before bar mitzvah who's a koyin into the oil ha-meis. So that's what she's doing. She's walking into the oil ha-meis with the baby inside, with the baby. So the rakech says, well, we don't know. It's a 50-50 chance whether it's a boy or a girl. If it's a girl, a bas kohen is permitted to be mitame lemeisim. The prohibition only applies to boys. Mustama, now they're going to change that thing also. No, the women's living. They want to have their own minyanim, so they don't want to be mitame lemeisim either. Okay, but the din still is like that. That a bas kohen is permitted to be mitame lemeisim. But it's only 50-50. It's a sofik deraisa lechumra. So the rekech says, well, machta tzchorma machta nekevas, it's 50-50, but there's a miut mapilos. There's a small percentage of women who lose the baby before it's born. The baby may die. So if you add up the miut mapilos with the machts and the kevois, so it comes out that it's a roiv lekula. That's what the rekech says. It's a questionable what's he talking about, but that's what he says. So the Shach and Yeridei and Hilchas Tumas Kohanim quotes this from the rekech. Rekech is one of the later Balei HaTosfos. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos quotes this from the Shach. Magen Avraham is later than the Shach. Magen Avraham, and Hilchos Shabbos, this is simed about Chinuch Habanim. That's going to be coming up later. About what is the father allowed to have his young child do? Is he allowed to have his children be Mechal Shabbos or not? So where's that discussion? There's a Sreif on Shabbos and the child comes to put out the fire. Kuchof Aleph. When they quote those dinim, what simen is that? Shin Mem Gimel, that's it. So Shin Mem Gimel is all about Chinuch Habanim. Shin Mem Gimel is about Hilchos Shabbos with respect to little children, and then the Mechaba talks in general about Chinuch Habanim. Simen Shin Mem Gimel. So the Magen Avraham on Shin Mem Gimel quotes this Shach in the end of Yeridah in the name of the Rekech, and he poses a kasha. What's the whole problem? There is a Mishnah in the fourth Perek in Chulin, Perek Be'imam Kasha, that says that Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tuma. If there's a baby inside the mother's body, it wasn't born yet, and the mother goes to attend the funeral, so the mother is born already, so she's Mekabel Tuma, but the baby inside is not Mekabel Tuma. That's called Tahara Blua. Or the Gemara has a discussion there, the same thing, let's say somebody swallowed a ring, and he goes to a funeral. So the person becomes Tomei, and the ring is not Mekabel Tuma. The ring is not Mekabel Tuma. So later on, when the ring comes out the other end, or comes out the top end, however it comes out, it's not going to get digested. Not gonna, the enzymes are not going to work on the ring. So there's no achila on the ring. It's not going to get digested. So when it comes out, it's Tohar. It may be Tomei when the Adam Tomei touches it, but it won't become an Avah Tuma. The one who was in the funeral became an Avah Tuma. When he touches the ring, it'll become a Rishon Tuma. It won't become an Avah Tuma. So the Gemara says they're both called Tahara Belua. When the Uber is inside the Rechem, when the Tabas is inside the stomach, that's called Tahara Belua. And Tahara Belua is not Mekabel Tuma. The same thing, Tuma Belua. Let's say a woman is pregnant with a baby, and then she finds out that the baby died already. The fetus died. So if someone is in the same oil with the woman, that does not cause Tuma. That does not cause any tumah to the other person, because tumah blua, that's also Mishnah, tumah blua is not mitami. Tahara blua is not mekabel tumah, and tumah blua doesn't cause any tumah. So that's what the Magen Avraham asks Akasha. What is the Rekech talking about? The whole discussion doesn't make any sense. He's talking about the pregnant Eishes Kohen going to the funeral. She may, there's a 50-50 chance she may have a baby boy. On the tzad, then it may turn out to be a boy, so it's a problem. She's mitami the coin. So the Magen Avraham asked, how is she being mitami the coin? The baby inside is a tara blua, it's inside the rechem, and tara blua is not mekabel tuma. So on that kasha that the Magen Avraham asked, so that's what Rab Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Chana Wasserman both wrote, in each one their own svarim, that apparently the Rekech is of the opinion that the prohibition against the Kohanim from coming in contact with the Mason is not because coming in contact will cause the coin to become tummy. Even if there's a stunt, even if there's some kind of a trick that will prevent the coin from becoming tummy, it's still forbidden. The coin is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, period, even if it doesn't cause any tumor. So that's what they say, that even though over here, the stunt over here is that it's tara belua, so it's not mekabel tuma, but sof kol sof, he's still in the oil mace. They took the little baby into the oil, baby boy into the oil hamayis, so that constitutes an issue. So that's a question over here. Maybe this solution won't help. Maybe this solution that Rav Zalman Nechemya gave doesn't really solve any problem. It solves the problem that the koyin doesn't become tummy because he's in a mukav tzomet pasul. But it could be that he's still considered in the oil hamayis. It could be that mukav tzomet pasul is a stunt that prevents him from being mekabel tumah. But you can still say that he's, if he would have been a mukav tzomet pasul in a kli that's mekabel, that is mekabel tumah from the outside, not in a synthetic sack, not in a kli cheres, not in an atmas hadag v'yoro, in a regular metal kli. So just because he's inside a kli, that doesn't matzel him from tumah. So the pashta says that he's not allowed to come in contact with the mace because it becomes tumah. So even if you say the mukav, even though the din is the mukav tzomet pasul protects him from being mekabel tuma, but one could argue the point and say, according to the Rekech, maybe you don't accept the Rekech, but according to the Rekech, it could be that there's still a prohibition, still an issue. But that's the shaila. Let's say the woman is married to a kohen, and then she hears that she's pregnant, and then she finds out that the fetus died. She goes for her checkup to the doctor. The doctor says no heartbeat. and the baby is not alive, and they're gonna take the baby out. So is she allowed to go home? Is she allowed to be in the same house with the husband? Maybe the husband is a kohen. He's not allowed to be metameh lemeis. So even though tumah blua is not metameh, but according to the rekech, it's still forbidden to be in the oil ameis. Even though, just like he says, tara blua is not mekabel tumah, but it's still an issa. So maybe tumah blua is also an issa. So that's a discussion whether that is according to the rekech. It's a discussion according to the rekech. Would that pose a problem or not? Anyway, this is the original mishnah. That is a din amukah tzomit pasul. That's matzah boil ameis, and the pasuk it only says it on the klicheres. But the mishnayos have is lav daf klicheres. Klicheres is a trick because the klicheres are mekabel tumah from the inside, not from the outside. So therefore, it's mukav tzomit pasul. If you have a kli that's bechlal not mekabel tumah, is better. It's a very good. For sure, there's a din amukah tzomit pasul. Kavachaimer from the pasuk in Chumash. When the plane is standing still, it is chaytis b'fnei atumah. The problem only begins when it starts to taxi, when it's moving. When it's moving, then we say an oil zaruk is maybe a satumah bein a chaytis b'fnei atumah. So we say the roof of the whole airplane is maybe a satumah, and the floor in between the passenger and the luggage section is not chaytis b'fnei atumah. But misama, it's only connected with the whole terminal when it's standing still. When it's standing still, that's not the problem. Then it is chaytis b'fnei atumah.
There's no problem of direct, meaning certain routes that the planes have that they go over cemeteries. That's for sure an oil zaruk. Just when the mace is actually in the
That's
plane.
An oil zaruk, yeah. Because the plane is moving in relationship to the cemetery. The plane is moving. So an oil zaruk, the din is that it's maybe a satumah v'enu chaytis b'fnei atumah. So that's why it should pose a problem. It could be that it's muta for a different reason. It could be that the even if you say that an oil zoruk is not chaytzitz b'fnei atumah, the coin becomes tameh. According to the rekech, it could be that the whole prohibition doesn't really depend on the coin becoming tameh. It could be it's an issue: is the coin being miskarev to the mace? Is he not being miskarev to the mace? So it could be if he's in an airplane all the way over there and the mace is all the way over down there, maybe they have no shaykhs with each other. Al pi aloche becomes tameh. But it could be that it's a tumas ameis without really coming in contact with the ameis. So strictly speaking, could well be that that's permissible for the coin. Could be that that's permissible for the coin. There are discussion in Achrayim about this. Doesn't matter. No. The question is whether the oil is moving or not. No. It doesn't matter if the mace is moving. So Rabbi Chanan, Rasimin, and Rabbi Chaim Oizer both assume that according to the Rekech, the Loshon HaPasuk is Labdavke. It doesn't really depend on lo yitmo. It just depends on his karvus lemeis. Usually, 95% of the time, a person is miskarev to meis will become tameh. You have trick situations where he becomes tameh without being miskarev, and he is miskarev without becoming tameh. So they seem to assume that according to the rakeach, the iser really depends on his karvus lemeis.
What is the criteria
of miskarev? Okay, so that's the question. Okay. That's the question. If the guy's all the way up in the airplane, is that called as karvus lemeis?
So he meant minator.
Pasha pshat, he meant minator. Pasha pshat. Okay. It's an interesting daf gemara. It doesn't have too much to do with Asecha Shabbos, but it's good to know. Okay. What's the next mishnah? The next mishnah is Adin Derabbanan. Yeah. Let's see, if we look in the Rambam puts it into a nice perspective. Where is the Rambam? Perek Chav Beis in Hilchas Shabbos, Halacha Yud. The Rambam writes like this. If you have, let's have a jar of pickles. And I finished eating all the pickles and I have the juice left. So I want to make more pickles. So I will take cucumbers, I'll slice them, and I'll put them in the brine, whatever, in the pickle juice. And if I leave them long enough, they'll also turn into pickles. So if I'll do this on Shabbos, If I do have to sit for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, it's not going to turn into pickles just overnight. So Mesama, if I put it in the jar of pickle juice on Shabbos, I'll die to eat it in another 4 weeks on Shabbos. So that's not right. That's mechin. Either mechin mishabbos l'chol and mechin mishabbos ul l'shabbos acheres. That most of the poskim assume that you're not allowed to be mechin even mishabbos ul l'shabbos acheres. The quote of Rabbeinu Hananel says not so. That if you're mechin mishabbos ul l'shabbos acheres, it is mutter. And the poskim are not happy about that. They think that just like mechin mishabbos l'chol, we're talking about hachona that's not a malacha. Do a hachana that's not a malacha. Where is that? About making the bed. Where's the Mishnah about making the bed? Huh? Kuf Yud Gimel. So there's a Rabbeinu Hananel on that daf. I think the Rabbeinu Hananel is on that Mishnah, on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where he says that to make the beds, if to do a hachon on one Shabbos for the next Shabbos, is mutun. The poskim are not happy about that. So we would assume even to put in cucumbers in a pickle jar, and pickle juice, to make pickles only special, he only eats pickles on Shabbos. Middle of the week he's not home, he's in the dormitory. And he's making the pickles on this Shabbos to eat them in another 2 months. So we assume that that's not allowed. Nid Rabbanan, Mechin. Is there any more serious prohibition? So it's a shayla from Mevashel. There's a rule that Kovish ke Mevushel. Bishul is one of the Lamentas of his Malachas, and the Gemara has a rule that Kovish ke Mevushel. Kovish ke Mevushel is Benegir to Trefis. Kovish ke Mevushel applies Benegir, not only Trefis, it applies if you have an Esrik HaKovish. It's also no good. Esrik HaMevushel is no good. So if you have an Esrik HaKovish, it's also no good. We even pass, so let's say you have a lulav. A lot of people have the practice that they want to preserve the freshness of the lulav, the hadassim and arabis, when they finish shaking lulav and dalad minim, so they put it into a container of water. So what do they do on Shabbos? So they put it in a container of water on Friday, and it sits there till Sunday morning. So it's kovish, the bottom of the thing is kovish in the water for more than 24 hours. So that's a pilpul in Kroinim, they quote a Tshuvas Ramban about that, that you apply Kavish Kamavushal on wood. Kavish Kamavushal on the Esrig, that's a Mishnah, I think. Esrig HaMavushal, but HaKavish is possible. You apply Kavish Kamavushal on Alulav, on Hadassim, on Aravis. So bottom line, they say that it does apply, that it does possible. That if you leave your Lulav and Hadassim and Aravis soaking in a container of water for more than 24 hours, let's say one day he went to the 6 o'clock minyan. Next day Chalamari goes to the 9 o'clock minyan. So it could be that the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Arabis were soaking not only Shabbos over the weekend, even in the middle of the week on Chol HaMoed, because it could be that it's soaking in the water straight for 24 hours. So bottom line, we hold that that's possible. We say Kavish Kemavushal there too. Yes, yeah, so there is a din of Kavish Kemavushal that it passels in Esrig. We even passel the Stechemet has about that, the whole discussion. There's the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas Bas L'Cholov quotes that Tshuva Saramban, that you say Kavish Kemavushal even by the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Arabs, even though it's not a Dvar Michael. But the Shad is being saying Hilcha Shabbos Kavish Kemevushal, that you're in violation of Bishul. So the Pashta says it's not Bishul Deraisa, but the Rambam writes that it's Bishul Midirabbonon. The Rambam writes Kavish Kvashim Bishabbos, one who puts in vegetables to soak in a salty brine. That's this Rambam. If you do Kavish Kemevushal on Shabbos, that's an Issa Derabbanan. You can't do Kavish Kemevushal on Shabbos. Kavish Kemevushal has to take 24 hours. Kavish Kemevushal has to be Chav Tal Shos. So he puts it, that's the Shalom. Let's say a person puts in bread late Shabbos afternoon, a minute before the Shkia. So the Gemara says in the first Perek on Davdala that you're only in violation of Afiyah if it had Krimas Ponim, Bitanah. So let that person put some bread on Shabbos in the oven, and then he realized, what did I do? I'm in violation of Eifah. So he pulls it out from the oven before it develops a hot crust. So the Gemara says that there's no malacha of afiyah. Mevashel, and let that person put some raw food on top of the fire on Shabbos. Then he realized, what did I do? It's bishul. So he takes it off of the fire. So if he takes it off and it turns out that it never had bishul, and never had cream aspan and betanur, it never got baked, it never got cooked, so there's no violation of bishul. So the achreinim have a machlekes, the chelkes yoyav had a machlekes with the egle tal about this. What if you put the food in the last minute of Shabbos into the oven or on top of the fire, and then he leaves it there, doesn't take it off, and the cream aspanim or the bishul becomes kamach ben nisa, becomes rei lachila? That occurs on Matzoy Shabbos. Can you say that the Gemara of the Bishul that occurred on Matzoy Shabbos causes a Gloy Muslim affair that is putting it into the oven on Shabbos constituted a Malacha of Bishul? Or do you say, no, how can that be that something that happened Bechol should affect the Lamafred? So the Chelkas Yoyav said that it is a Malacha of Mevashel. And the Egle Tal thought that that's an impossibility. He thought that that cannot be. So Beitzik thought that the Egle Tal was right, that it cannot be. Anyway, so over here, by if you all like the Egle Tal, that when you do Bishul B'Shabbos, it's only a complete malacha if it becomes Nizbashel Kamechel Ben Derisoy, it becomes Krimas Pan B'Tano on Shabbos, so then it's impossible to be in violation. You can never have a real Kavish Kamevushel on Shabbos. It takes 24 hours to be Kavish Kamevushel. This is Kavish B'chaymis of Itzir, that takes less than 24 hours. It takes 8 minutes, 6 minutes. Maybe that's what he means over here. Anyway, but it's for sure it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not a Nisa D'Rais. The Din is a Mid D'Rabbanan, HaKavish Kvashim B'Shabbos is awesome, Mepnei Shehu Kir Mevashel. It's a Nisa D'Rabbanan. So then the Rambam says, so you start off with that Din. Then the Gemara says, there's another Din Mid D'Rabbanan on Kuf Ches on the base, that you're not allowed to make take a look about 15 lines from the top. Tani Rab Yudei B'Rab Chaviva, he presents a braisa by the tiny letter base. Einoisim Meimel, tiny letter base for Nai Mishma. Einoisim Meimel Achazin, Mai Meimel Achazin, you're not allowed to make very salty water. To mix water with a lot of salt is not allowed. If you mix a little salt into your soup in order to make it a little tastier, that's okay. But if you're going to put in a lot of salt, that's not allowed. What's the definition of a lot of salt? My memelachazim, when is it considered too strong? If the salt water is so thick that if you would put an egg that would normally sink to the bottom, see here, this egg will not be able to sink because the water is so thick because of the salt. Come on, how much is that? So the Gemara says 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. That's an awful lot of salt. 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. Okay. So why does anybody make such salty water? Frag the Gemara. Lamai Abdila, why should any crackpot make such salty water? Amar Ababo, the Moraisa. They make it in order to put in herring, in order to put in pickles, brine, to make a brine, to make kvashim. So the Rambam writes like this. You see from the Gemara that a Kodesh kvashim Mishabbos is an Issa de Rabbanan. To put in the cucumbers and the pickle juice is not allowed. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and you're not allowed to even prepare the Mei Melach Azin because it looks like he's preparing in order to make more rice. Chen lo yase Mei Melach Azin mehem shnei shlishi melach ushlish mayim. You're not allowed to mix such a concoction, 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. Mehem shnei nirek ka'oise murais. And what's wrong with Oysa Murais? The Murais is nearer that he plans to be Kovish Kvashim. Kovish Kvashim is also because it's Kovish Kemavushim. So this is all a series of Dinim Derabbanan. So then the Mishnah has Nocha Din Derabbanan, Ein Oysim Hilmi B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to mix salt with water to prepare a lot of salt water. That you're not allowed to do. Hilmi is the salt water. Avalosuhu Esmei Melach V'Tavu Behem Pitoy. To mix salt with water in order to dip in your bread, or to pour a little bit on food is okay. So the Gemara asks, my Omer, how do you read the Mishnah? It's a contradiction between the first line and the second line. Hilmi is the exact same thing. Hilmi is a foreign word, a Latin word, whatever, a Greek word, that means salt water. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make Hilmi, and then it says, but you're allowed to make Mei Melach. Mei Melach is the Hebrew for Hilmi. It's the same thing. My comma fake the Gemara. Amrabiyur Amishmol Hachikam, it means like this. You're not allowed to make Mei Melech Merubim, but you're permitted to make Mei Melech Muatim. A little bit that's going to be used up right away is mutter. To make a lot is not mutter. Then you continue in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Amr Rabbi Yossi, you see from Rabbi Yossi that the Pshat that the Gemara gives is correct. Alohu Hilmi Bei Merubim Mei Muat. It's the exact same thing. What's the difference? What do you tell me? To make Hilmi is not allowed. Hilmi means Mei Melech Merubim. But if you make Mei Melech Muatim, it's mutter. Say, Tainus, if it's Sasa, it's Sasa. Aloha Hilmi, Beim Rubbe, Beim Rubbe, it's all the same thing. The only thing I say is permissible, Rabbi Yossi, is the Machmeh here. The Gemara is not sure. Rashi quotes the Gemara Mefarish. The Gemara raised a question. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't make sense, Lord, the Tanakhama, to distinguish between Merubim and Muatim. So the din should be exactly the same. So which direction does Rabbi Yossi say the din is the same? He says that everything is muta, that everything is also. Which way? So first the Gemara thought maybe he meant to say boiluhu, Rabbi Yossi leisar leheter. So first the Gemara thought he meant leheter. Then the Gemara says no, it's not correct. And he finally quoted beferish ebraisa. The Gemara says tanya nami hochi. It says black and white. Am Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't make a difference. Ela elu v'elu asurim heim. They're both forbidden. Rabbi Yossi is machma. Elohim may melech hamuvotim hamutorim, in which may melech is mutter. So then he says, if you mix in shemen together right away, you didn't mix water with salt alone. You mixed water with shemen with salt from the very beginning. So that's mutter. That's not going to be so sharp. Okay. So here there's a machlokes in Erevin. Tosis quotes on Amud Aleph. Usually Rabbi Yossi is very sharp and we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We have Kloli HaPsak of the Tanoim, whenever this Tano argues with that, Rabbi Yuda, Allah, Rabbi Yuda, and so on. So one of the Klolim is that Rabbi Yossi is very sharp. We always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, but here there are a couple of exceptions to the rule. So Tosis says, Halacha Kerabonim. Tosis says, they think you should paskin like the Chachamim. Of course, he passed Macham. No, the Chiddush is we normally pass like Rabbi Yossi, but here the Gemara says in Erev in the end of the first paragraph on Daf Yudala that this is an exception to the rule, because one Amora says there ain't Allah Rabbi Yossi lo behilmi velo belechi. Then is when you have a mavui that has three walls, some in Atari you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, but with the Rabbanon you have to make a tikkun on the ruach of these. You have to put either a lechi or a kur. So lechi means a pole, like a mezuzah. You don't. One Tana says you need two lechis. We don't pass like that. One lechi is enough in a mavui. In a chatzi, you need two lechis. In a mavui, one lechi is enough. So how tall does the lechi have to be? Asara tzvachim, fine. How fat does it have to be? So that's a machlekes hatana. So the how in both directions, how wide and how thick. So we pass in mashu. The Mishnah says mashu. Rabbi Yossi insists in the Mishnah has to be three tzvachim fat. So the Gemara says we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. In Allah Rabbi Yossi, lo behilmi, not over here. That is machmer, even may melech muatim is forbidden. We don't accept Rabbi Yossi's chumer here. But lo belechi, we don't paskin by the thickness of the lechi. As we talk, we don't accept his opinion. And the Gemara says puk chazim ayam adibar. Take a look. What do people do when people make a lechi from mavri? They don't make three tefachim fat. Nobody makes such a fat lechi. Kvanogom lechi mashu. Rashi says there the meaning is not like Rabbi Yossi. So Kevin, then Allah Rabbi Yossi Belechi Koshkein Behilmi. Why? The Gemara there has a machlokes. Normally we do pass from like Rabbi Yossi. But the Gemara has one opinion that there's one exception to the rule Hilmi. The other opinion is that there are two exceptions to the rule Hilmi and Lechi. But since it says Beferish that Lechi we don't pass from like Rabbi Yossi, so for sure Hilmi we don't pass from like Rabbi Yossi. That's what Tosis is right. We pass from like the Chacham. Okay. Then the Gemara continues to discuss a little bit. There is another din midirabbanan. These are not all of these are dirabbanan. There is a fact that there are certain fruits or vegetables that if you put on salt on them, it won't just be that it'll taste salty; it'll affect the whole character of the vegetable. Take for example, I think if you take a grapefruit and you sprinkle salt on top, it'll make it sweet. A trick. So that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. That's like mevashel. That's like kovish kemevushel is mevashel midirabbanan. So there's another din, maliach kereseach. So maliach kereseach is a din in the Gemara if you have a ton of salt. So here, there's a chumra here, maliach kereseach on Shabbos is only midirabbanan. Because minatar, it's only called bishul if you have bishul be'esh or be'tol de'seish. Bishul even bechama is mutter. Bishul betolda sacham is only nisa derabbanan. Skolshken, if you have bishul aydei maliach kereseach, kovish kemulushul is not going to be derais. So here the Gemara has a din that this is another form of bishul. If you sprinkle salt on top of a grapefruit and it makes it sweet, it affects the whole change and the whole thing. Not stam that it tastes salty. Normally, if you put salt in the soup, so it's salty, sure. You can taste the flavor of the salt. It tastes better if it's salty. But the Gemara has, if you put salt on a radish, it'll affect the whole radish, it'll make it harder. So that's a din that maliach kereseach, that's considered a form of bishul midrabban. The Gemara says, however, what if you salt an egg? It'll not affect any major change in the egg. The egg will taste better with salt than without salt. Unless you're not allowed to take salt at all. So don't put salt. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Shaila, whether you're allowed to put salt on an egg, the world comes to the the first Gemara says, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda Rab Chaviv presents a brisa, you're not allowed to salt neither radishes nor eggs. And the Gemara says, Abayi said it's not correct. An egg is mutter, beitza muteris, and its nine is awesome. Because when you salt a radish, and when you salt a grapefruit, or kayotze b'zeh, whatever fruit or vegetable is like that, it makes a change in the whole nature of the fruit or the vegetable, so that's a din medirabban. Okay. So that's the din of Hilni. Good. There is the Rabban. Then the Perek is famous for a different din. The Perek gives you a list of various refuahs that they used to use in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Amoraim, which we today do not follow. You have to follow Ein lecha l'shefet shebiyamecha yiftach b'dorek yishmol v'dorek. So we follow the doctors of our generation. They may be incompetent, they may be, maybe the Tanoim's doctors were better than our doctors, but we follow the doctors of our generation. And the Rishonim have a lotion. Whoever follows the medicine that it says in the Gemara, Dama Barosham. The Rashba quotes that from the Goyim. Not allowed to follow the medicine that it says in the Gemara. So we're not going to follow the medicine, but what is important in the Gemara is that the Gemara speaks, that we're going to start the next Mishnah, Kufir Aleph. The Gemara develops an idea that the Chachamim, the Tanoi, made a gzera of Rafua B'Shabbos. If a person is a bari when a mechesh bialma has a slight ache or pain, he's not permitted to apply any medication. Even though there's no malach involved, applying medication is also because of a gzera, shemi yishachik samamonim. It may lead to doing some kind of a malach or another. If the fellow is a choylus, sheyesh b'sakona, some suffix sakona, so it's a double poshut that the gzera de rabbanon doesn't apply. If you're permitted to violate the chil shabbos deraisa in the case of a sofik sakane, even if the rov is that he's going to survive anyway, the rov is that he's going to die anyway. So we say lehalchul b'pikuach nefash shachar harav. We don't follow the rov. You have to be concerned about the miut possibility of saving his life. So certainly a gzera de rabbanon you're allowed to violate. That's a double poshut. We paskin in shulchan aruch. Not everybody agrees. The Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, and that's the way it's accepted, that not only if the fellow is a chayla she'esh bo safek sakana, do we allow refuah b'shabbos, even a chayla she'ein bo sakana, we also permit refuah b'shabbos, applying medication, as long as there's no malacha deraisa violated. So the only time we prohibit refuah b'shabbos if the fellow is basically a bari, when the mechesh bi'alma, but whenever there's a more serious condition that he's elevated to the level of a chayla she'ein bo sakana, then in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that all the refuahs are muta, that the gzera the rabbana doesn't apply. The Mishkan is Yankiv as a tshuva where he doesn't like this din in Shulchan Aruch. Nope. Pashtei says no one listened to him. If he would have written a tshuva lahakal on something that says in Shulchan Aruch, that would be what to consider. He writes a tshuva lahachmir against the Shulchan Aruch, so that was never accepted. So we stick with the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Brura leaves it like that also, that if the fellow is a chayla she'ein bo sakana, the Ramo gives you the definition of a person that cannot function normally. He's either chayla kol gufa mutal lemishka. Either he has to lay in bed, he has a bad cold, he has to lay in bed because of the cold. No suffix sakana. He just can't function, that's all. Or sometimes a sinus condition, even if he's not laying in bed, he can't, his head is fashed up, he can't think, he can't eat, he doesn't enjoy eating, he can't breathe, he can't talk. So if he can't function normally, chayla kol gufa or mutal lemishka, so that's labeled as a chayla she'ein bo sakana, so then we allow refuah. For little children, the Gemara has a memem base. For little children, we always consider their needs as a chayla she'ein bo sakana. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, even based on the Gemara, even if the little baby is not sick at all, even if the baby is not sick at all, the baby is hungry. And if he doesn't get his bottle at the right time, he screams. So that's called a choyel l'shem sakana. Why is it a choyel l'shem sakana? It's not a choyel. So the Ramo says, based on the Gemara, Mem on the base, that the category of choyel l'shem sakana doesn't have to be choyel, doesn't have to be sick. It means one who has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. The condition is hunger. So normally, a normal adult who's hungry doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't fall to pieces. So he bellyaches. So he screams at his wife. He wants some food. He screams, give me some food. But he's able to function. The baby goes wild. The baby's going to cry his head off. He can't function normally. So whenever a person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, that's called a chodesh shem sakana. And then we permit the refuas. Then we permit all the xeris derabbanan. But if it's a bari with a mechesh bi'alma, then we're concerned about the... then we have this xeris derabbanan. Yeah. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, what if the person doesn't even, it's a bari, he doesn't even have a mechesh bi'alma. He doesn't even have any aches or pains. Just let's say he has bad breath. And he wants to spray something in his mouth in order to take care of the problem of bad breath. So you say, well, this is a medication. He's spraying a medication in his mouth. Or he's putting one of these, what do you call it? He puts that piece of paper on his tongue and it dissolves, huh? What are they called?
Listerine
strips. Listerine strips, yeah. So he puts that, so that's, it's refuah, that's a refuah. But he doesn't even have a mechesh bi'alma. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that for reich hapeh, that's not an issa. The only time there's an issa is if he's a bari with a mechesh bi'alma. He has to have some mechesh, then there's an issa. Or let's say a person, I remember many years ago when Rav Henkin passed away, so they had the Levi was on the east side. So they had the maspidim was standing inside the shul, and the shul was a little tiny shul, probably the Kalvaria shul, very small shul. So it only contained so many people, and the majority of the participants in the funeral were standing outside in the street. It's in the middle of the summer. So no one, you couldn't hear the haspidim, so everybody was talking. So people were telling over stories and psalking from Rav Henkin. So someone said over, he was once in the office of the Ezra's Torah, and Rav Henkin was there, and he used to call up a shaila, so someone called with a shaila, that they have a heter to use birth control. Are they allowed to take the birth control? Are they allowed to use the birth control pill on Shabbos? A shaila from refuah. So Rav Henkin said, no one is sick and is not a refuah. Goodbye. He said, that's not called refuah. Refuah means if you're buried with a mechesh b'alma, someone is sick with something. If no one is sick, they just don't want to become pregnant. So they use the medication in order to prevent some of them. So that's not called the refuah. That's the same as the bad breath that we assume in Shulchan Aruch that that's mutter. Rabbi Kibegra on the bottom of the page quotes a Tosfos who holds that bad breath, you're not allowed to use something for bad breath, but we don't paskin like that Tosfos. We paskin like the Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter, because that's what it says in the Tosefta. That's not called even a mechesh b'yalma. That could be. Possible. If it could prevent somebody from becoming sick, preventive medicine, so then the Magen Avraham claims that that's a machlokes, the Rambam in the Tur, where the preventive medicine is us. So that could be, if they're practicing birth control because they're afraid she's going to get sick, so then that could be that. That's called preventive medicine. That's a possibility. Okay, there was a suggestion we should learn a little bit the Gemara of Hanukkah before we start the Mishnah Kuf Yud Aleph. Okay, so we'll do a little bit Chanukah. I remember the year that Rav Soloveitchik learned Masechah Shabbos, he did Chanukah. He did more than we have on the syllabus. He did everything that we had on the syllabus, plus the Sugya of Chanukah, plus more, in 1 year. And only 2 shiurim a week, I think. He spoke quickly. Okay. He used to speak very quickly. In fact, one of the Rabbanim from Eretz Yisrael visited. Rabbi Levine's son visited the American. He heard him say shir. He went back to Eretz Yisrael. So his report that he gave to the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael is that he gives the shir kemo totach, like a machine gun. He used to speak so quickly in Yiddish. So he said in English also, he used to speak very quickly. Anyway, this